Thank you, choir. Always beautiful. And a good morning.
Good morning, all you folks out here.
It's such a pleasure to be invited back to be with you for the next couple of weeks. You know, we've missed our friends here at Bethel, and I thank you for having us with you this morning. Let's bow our heads and ask for God's willingness to awaken us to his message for us this morning. Oh Lord, we ask you to open our eyes to your direction so that we may be alert to the opportunities that you give to us. Fill us with good news to share with those who seek meaning in their lives. We are here because we need the good news ourselves. May the choir's anthem, the hymns we sing, the scripture proclaimed, and the message that I give, may they all be meaningful to us and pleasing to you. Amen. I invite you now to read along with me or simply listen to the word of our Lord. It's recorded this morning in Psalm 46, Psalm 103, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. From Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. But he lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And then from Psalm 103. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. And then from 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is writing this. He said, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, because he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And this is the word of our Lord. You know, the word temporary conjures up different ideas in our heads. You know, some things, it's a good thing to be temporary. You know, what are head colds and flu symptoms and COVID to all be very temporary. And on the other hand, we do not want the word temporary to be used at all or never in a wedding service, for example. Scratch that word out completely. We are surrounded by many temporary things. Each season, the spring, the summer, and the fall, and the winter, they're all temporary. And those seasons give us a look at God's handiwork, from spring's buds to fall's flowers to the cold winter. And of course, the moon up there each day gives us a temporary look each night as it revolves around the earth while we revolve around the sun. And the old adage that nothing remains the same, that everything is temporary, well, it's true except for death and taxes, isn't it? Those are chiseled into stone for sure. And we have to admit that each month on our seasonal wall calendars, there's a picture that's always appropriate for that month. Without a doubt, we do live in a world of change, and sometimes I think we feel like we're simply penciled in and along for the ride, that our time on earth is temporary. Undoubtedly, we live in a world of constant changes, and some of those changes are good. About the idea of forgiveness, forgiving someone before Thanksgiving, or better yet, before the sun goes down tonight. Huh? Or how about changing bad attitudes before it's too late? You know, changes challenge us, and we're sometimes afraid of it. And when that happens, in the midst of these changes, we need to simply trust in God's love and grace and faithfulness, which will never change. He is forever. He is steadfast. There's a story about a man who came home from work one day, and he saw where his wife had placed a wooden sign in the kitchen. And the sign said, "Prayer changes things." And 24 hours later, his wife noticed that the sign was down, put away. And so she asks her husband, "Don't you like prayer?" And of course, he replied, I do. It's those changes that I'm scared of." You know, your big turnaround in life can be a little frightening. Well, this morning, let's examine that fear. And the fear of just being temporary, of just being penciled in. I do think that, honestly speaking, most of us, most of the time, we don't really think about our mortality, our awareness that we're not forever. You know, we block it out of our thought pattern, don't we? You know, we're out there doing our daily chores, and we just keep moving along until that certain day when the wife puts a yearly birthday cake in front of you with all those candles that light up the entire room, and you realize that you are getting some miles on the odometer. But we are transitory. We are transitory. We are passing creatures. You remember that real depressing play that I think we probably all had to read in high school, The Death of a Salesman? Remember that? A couple of people nodding their heads. Ginny is over there smiling. Willie Loman said in that play about his life, he said, "I feel kind of temporary about myself." And if we think of the downsizing that some of our corporate giants are going through right now, one somewhat bitter man said about his forced early retirement, he said, "If you want to know just how important you are, stick your finger in a bucket of water and pull it out and see how much of a hole is left. A pastor friend of mine reminded me once of how long a retired pastor is remembered at the church. He thought probably about 2 years. Even now, if I were to list all the pastors at Augusta Stone over the last several decades, I would definitely have trouble doing that. And perhaps that holds true for any retired person out there at all. And it's likely, actually, it's likely a good thing. Because life has to move on. I sold my business, a radio station over in Charlottesville, back in 93. And after that, I lost touch with a lot of folks whom I considered friends. And it turns out they only knew me through the business relationship, in terms of my business. And so the next year, my Christmas card list diminished quite a little bit. And that's okay, too. And fame is fleeting also. Most of you remember General Douglas MacArthur, one of America's heroes in the military. When he retired, he made a famous comment. He said, "Old soldiers never die. What becomes of them? They fade away." Remember that. And he had a point. And that is that's the way of fame and popularity and being a celebrity can be. Many times fame is only fleeting and just temporary. When you move off that stage, the recognition disappears. You know, I can picture him, but I just can't say his name anymore. Every time Debbie and I run up to Cape Cod, we always seem to gravitate over to Hyannis, and we always walk by the Kennedy complex there. You know, such high hopes that Joseph Kennedy had for his children. He had hoped that his son Joe would become president someday. And of course, Joe died in a plane crash during World War II, flying over the Atlantic Ocean. And then John, of course, was assassinated 59 years ago this month. And then Robert was too. And then Teddy had his issues. We won't go there. But the compound used to be such a vibrant place, wasn't it? They all congregated there at Thanksgiving, and they'd play football on the lawn. It's still a beautiful building. But every time that Debbie and I walk through the beach in front of it, when we get past this gigantic, ugly sign that says, "Absolutely no trespassing," but nobody's ever around. When we get past all of that and get over onto the Kennedy private beach and get that close to the compound, you feel the stillness surrounding you. Big empty building, big empty home. The emptiness, the end of Camelot. And the quietness is almost deafening. The dynasty that was to have been created there became, well, temporary, and will likely never be recreated. And of course, the importance of JFK's administration has disappeared too. And I would be willing to bet that most young people couldn't tell you when he was even president, nor what his wife's name was. Indeed, fame can be fleeting. There are changes. And then there are changes. They're all around us in our contemporary culture. You know, some of them are not threatening to us at all. And some are just annoying because they break a normal pattern. I remember as a kid, I enjoyed Diet Right soda. We called it pop back then. It was a product of RC Cola. And we drank it all the time, even if it did say on the can that lab rats had gotten cancer from drinking this soda. And nowadays, supposedly, you can only get it in Chicago. Well, with some humor, we can handle these kind of changes, even though we may not be fond of them. And of course, things can be temporary too. We have to adjust a little bit more. This is what we call stuff, all of our stuff. Jesus said in that anxiety, he said, don't put your trust in things. They become obsolete in a hurry. Moth and rust and mildew will destroy them. They were temporary. And of course, we guys have seen all the sites just down the road over at Jollyview. Over at the Jollyview landfill. Goodness. It's an amazing place, isn't it? Every day, tons of things are pitched out. And they're all very temporary right there. But here's the important question for the morning. What about being temporary as a person? Here is some change that strikes deeper. And we can't just laugh it off either. The psalmist said in our Old Testament reading this morning, he says, for man and woman, their days are like grass. They flourish like the flowers of the field, and the wind passes over it, and it's gone. And its place knows it no more. You and I, we're passing, we're fleeting, we're transitory. And it's a real fear for us. You know, this can cause some people to go out and get a cosmetic makeover or to get some surgery around the chin or the eyes or to work out at some gym. With vim and vigor, perhaps we think maybe we can reverse that process. Good luck there. But let me suggest that even though some of these are very healthful to your ego and good for you, none of them are lasting at all. They are temporary. Some cures for our sense of being just are penciled in. They're temporary. Well, I have a few points to bring out this morning. First of all, let me reassure you that God does not just counsel us in. And our faith affirms us as forever valuable. We're not temporary in His mind at all. Or to put it negatively, if you drop God out of your life, all you get is temporary. That's all there is. It is emptiness without a Father in the center of life and leading us on. You see, friends, our God calls us, not objects, but as children who are worth loving. And we repeat that faith in every single baptism that we have. You know, the wonder is that this child is a child of the Father and a brother or a sister of Jesus Christ. And here is where our sense of an unlimited value comes. Because without God's promise in our relationship, without that, we are just creatures passing through. I'm sure you remember the old ballad that was sung by the Kingston Trio, "Where Have All the Flowers Gone?" Remember that? Well, at the risk of putting a song in your head for the rest of the day, let me read the lyrics to them. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young girls gone? Gone the young men, everyone. Where have all the young men gone? Gone the soldiers, everyone. Where have all the soldiers gone? Gone to graveyards, everyone. And where have all the graveyards gone? Full circle. Gone to graveyards and flowers, everyone. From flowers to humans to flowers. If you drop God out of your life, that's what you're going to get. 3 days after September 11th, 2001, Mark Stanley, the pastor of Augusta Stone, asked me to help him do a memorial service at the church, a prayer service for the thousands of people who had died in the brutal attack. So what do you say at something like that anyway? Well, I told the congregation, in times of transition and even upheaval like these, our culture offers us no promise, because we're going to have terrorists and bombers and hurricanes and death. And so we have to stop and ask, is there any word from the Lord? And then I read from Psalm 46, our reading this morning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains were cast into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof should roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And why don't we fear? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Such incredible imagery, isn't it? You know, the mountains crumble into the sea, and the earth be removed, and the waters roar into large waves. And then one of my favorite pieces of scripture is from Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will last forever. And these are all strong phrases, aren't they? You know, we may have paraphrased a few of those when we were teenagers and writing love letters to our girlfriends. You know, though the mountains may crumble, I will always love you forever. But friends, our Lord says it, and he means it, no matter what happens. My love for you will never be temporary. I will stand by you throughout your life. In our closing hymn, in just a little bit, one that Joanne picked out says it perfectly. Almighty fortress is our God. Great one. Remember how Jesus said, don't worry. Don't worry about the dandelions of the field, how they bloom and how they're then cut down and bundled and thrown into the fire. He said, you're not like that at all. You know, don't be anxious about the sparrows that are sold for a few pennies. And you're not like that either. God cares for every one of those sparrows out there that falls to the earth. But that's nothing to the way that your Father knows you and he loves you, because you are more valued to him than many sparrows. Our faith says you and I do have eternal value, because love, God's love, is eternal. And his arms surround us like great big old parentheses in a sentence. And friends, if you know that love, you will feel temporary no more. Secondly, this morning, we overcome our sense of being temporary by Jesus' promise of a life to come. And it's our Christian hope in the face of death. After all, death is the final blow to our sense of permanence, isn't it? If death is the end, then we are passing visitors for a moment, and then we're gone. Gone to those flowers, everyone. And that's the belief of the Jewish people. But here comes the promise that the resurrection brings to us as Christians. The God who raised Jesus from anonymity and perishing will renew us also. God has no limited engagements or trial marriages or unnecessary abortions. And when we're related to him, that relationship is forever, including a world to come. And we need to shout that out as Christians constantly, and not just on Easter Sunday. And friends, are you ready for this? The good news is that you will be changed, recreated. You know, caterpillars become butterflies. And there's a positive change that will occur. Here's how the Apostle Paul put it: we shall not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. From our reading this morning. Well, the Apostle Paul sometimes goes around the barn, sometimes with his words. But here's what he's saying here. He says, we're going to get a makeover. The elderly woman with the curved spine and aching bones will be changed. And you hurting with arthritic fingers and swollen joints, you will be changed. And you who are full of cancer will be changed. And Paul goes on to say in our reading this morning, death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And with that promise, we know that we are not temporary. There's a custom in the Eastern Orthodox Church that happens every Easter. And it all started way back in the Middle Ages at Easter time. And the priest would start the service with a joke. Yeah, it's a true story. And their reasoning over all these centuries is that being solemn is not proper on the day of resurrection. And so the poor congregation had to sit there and listen to the priest give a joke at the very beginning of the service and then laugh at the end of it. Yeah, maybe Derek can try that out next Easter for you. But the reason behind all that is because with a smile on their faces, big old toothy grins, the Orthodox people can be assured of their own life after death. And so the last laugh in our earthly life is on death, because death appears to hold all the cards and brags in the Jewish faith that it is forever. And it's in fact really just passing and transitory. And that life is the victor. Life is full and eternal and forever. And our Christian hope in Christ turns those tables. And again, because of all of that, we are not temporary at all. Period. My final idea this morning is that if we have faith in the steadiness of God's love, if we know that we actually have His promise that we will be changed to a new life, that our style of life now should be rearranged. And if you believe what I've said this morning so far, then today can be different. You know, you can be nonchalant about things other than those family things that get passed down through the years. They mean a lot to you. I understand. And we can be more confident that we are of more value than the work that we do or have done. There's a story about a man whose epitaph read, born a human being, died a wholesale grocer. And friends, we are loved as human beings first. And then be aware that life is short here on earth. And give your life to what is going to be eternal. In other words, what can you do for others which will outlast your 85 years or so of your life? What can you do for others that are more important than your 85 years or so? Rabbi Kushner pointed out that In the tragedy of September the 11th, not one of those people who knew that they had just minutes to live called their business partners or notified their brokers or thought of their accomplishments in their life. They all called their families to say that, if I don't make it out of here alive, I want you to know that I love you. Get back to what is important. Volunteer your time to a worthwhile organization. Maybe become more active here at Bethel. And today will be different for you when you realize that whatever trials and troubles you experience are not forever, but they do pass. Those trials and tribulations are temporary. Trouble and sorrow do not last forever. They are bridges over which we pass, not places where we live. And finally, to make that realization of faith in God's love, then you can vow this prayer. You can say, "Dear God, the changes I can make, I will do. And the ones I can't control, I will turn over to God." That serenity prayer is such a beautiful and powerful prayer. And without a doubt, it contains words to live by. And dear friends, believe me, I'm not there just yet either. You know, I don't always have all of that together all the time. If you ask Debbie, she'll tell you. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm a little penciled in too, a little temporary. But whenever I do feel temporary about myself, I sit down with God and I talk with Him. And we can all do that realizing that there's nothing temporary about Him at all. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will last forever. Amen.